How do you respond to someone who wants you to lose weight too quickly? Also, how do you figure out your ideal weight when you're big boned? We'll answer those questions, discuss the news, and much more here on episode number 101 of Fat to Fit Radio.
Welcome to Fat to Fit Radio, your source for real weight loss solutions without the hype. And now, here are your hosts, Jeff Ainsley and Russ Turley.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Fat to Fit Radio. And before we get started, we have an announcement here. We are announcing the release of the book, Fat to Fit, Getting There and Staying There. It's now available on our website, fattofitradio.com/book, or you can just click on the image in the upper right-hand corner of the website, and it will take you where you can purchase that book.
Well, speaking of something new, Russ, let's move into the weigh-in this week. But instead of doing a weigh-in, we're going to take a look at you with 20 pounds difference. Now, you've been keeping track of your measurements, so why don't we let people know what you have lost in the last 20 pounds?
In the last 6 months, it's just about 20 pounds, I've lost 2.5 inches in my chest, and around the navel, around the midsection, I've lost 1.5 inches. Around the hips, I've lost 1.5 inches. And this is the big one, because I have these legs of, I don't know, like tree trunks. And in the thigh, I've lost 5.5 inches in the thigh. It's really come off in the extremities. The calf, it's down 1 inch. I've also had very large calves. And then I've got three that didn't change at all, which is interesting. The bicep, neck, and wrist all did not change in with that 20 pounds.
Well, I think it's really interesting. You know, as you get closer to your goal weight, you find out that every little pound makes a larger difference, it seems, and you can really see where you put your weight on first.
Yeah, because I lost a lot more weight in the upper body and the chest area before that, but the last 20 here have all been in the legs, which actually today I just put on a pair of jeans that while you know the waist was fitting just fine, the legs were a little tight. And now they were just a little bit loose in the leg. So, again, another pair of jeans, and with that, 5.5 inches, which is just crazy. Yeah, but before we get going here a little more, just go over some of the eating goals and the exercise goals and my motivation. So eating, a good 9 out of 10. Exercise, a 10 out of 10. And motivation of the week, with you know this kind of results for the measurements, it's a good 10 out of 10.
Well, Russ, it's great to see those goals are right 9s and 10s out of 10s, because if your goals are there, everything else just falls into place. For the next show, we will actually be face-to-face and recording in the same room for the first time for show number 102.
Yeah, that'll be fun, and I'll have to set up the extra microphones here in Long Beach in the bedroom studio, and it'll be a good time.
Well, let's move right into our email and comment section. And the first email came in from Robin.
Robin wrote here, "Hi, Russ and Jeff. I really enjoy the podcast, and I've shared it with many of my coworkers and friends." I'll have to say thank you very much for that, Robin. "It's real information and very inspiring. Here's my question. I'm a 34-year-old female, 66 inches, and I weigh 279 pounds. This is down from my all-time high of 295. I've been steadily improving my diet, tracking my calories. I figured 20-50 a day based on my goal weight of 150 and light moderate exercise, swimming, elliptical, weightlifting, walking for about 45 to 60 minutes, 3 to 4 days a week. I'm committed to the changes I'm making and I feel good about them. The problem is that everyone, including my doctor, keeps trying to push me to lose weight faster. My doctor said I should cut my calories to 1,200 to 1,500 and remove most starches and fruits. My friends at work want me to join them jogging as they prepare for a 5K. I don't think I can do either of these things for long without injuring myself or others." And she went here, "A hungry Robin is a mean one. While I appreciate all the support, how do I deal with the overzealous? Thanks, I love the podcast and can't wait for the book."
Well, this is an extremely important question, and the points that I'm going to go over do come up throughout the book that we just wrote, but I do need to start off with where your doctor and friends are coming from. They are coming from a place of genuine concern. Your health risks are very high right now because of your weight, and everyone just wants you to remove those health risks as quickly as possible. We've said this in the past, but we have listeners who have passed away in the last couple of years because of diseases or conditions that were caused or greatly exacerbated by their obesity. What we're talking about here isn't just all about fitting into your skinny jeans for a party. We have listeners who suffer on a daily basis from extreme pain from type 2 diabetes complications, for example. It is just so tempting for us to recommend that people go on crazy quick diet plans and lose 20 pounds because that would improve a person's health quite quickly. But we know that would only improve their health outlook for maybe 3 or 4 months until the weight comes back. We know from all of the research that losing weight slowly and changing your lifestyle to that of a thinner, healthier person that you want to become will permanently improve your health for the rest of your life. And that's the true focus here in this show. Now, most people are not aware that by pressuring you to diet more intensely, they are sabotaging your long-term fat loss results. We say this over and over. But the vast majority of people who lose weight quickly gain all of their weight back. So put pressure on yourself not to do something that will inevitably lead to failure. So here are 5 pieces of advice to deal with others' unrealistic expectations. So 1, the attitude about weight loss that you will come across with family and friends and coworkers, and even in many places on the internet, it's just all about speed, not permanency. If you are on the internet, don't spend time in online chat rooms or forums with people who do not share your views on fat loss. Look for a place on the internet where people share your desire for long-term fat loss, such as fattofitsupport.com. And another thing, losing short-term weight isn't the problem. Everyone can lose a couple of pounds in a short amount of time with sheer willpower, but the true goal is keeping it off. If you look back at the history of those forums that I just mentioned on the internet, the people who were bragging about quickly losing weight a year ago are no longer bragging now. If those people do come back and start posting again on the forum, they are usually talking about a new diet program that they are losing weight on yet again.
That second piece of advice is if a person brings up the topic of how fast they can lose weight, ask them about other diets that they have tried that haven't worked. They will most likely give you a list of all the diets they've been on. This should give you an idea of how much of a failure they truly are in regards to being able to maintain that healthy weight. Is your goal of losing fat to see how fast you can change the numbers on that scale, or to get healthy and in the best shape of your life for the rest of your life? Just for another example here, when the Indy 500 is over, is there an award for the car that accelerated the fastest at the start of the race? No.
That's right. And the third major point here, if you feel pressured to quickly lose weight, most likely this isn't the first time that you felt this. Don't equate success in fat loss with numbers of pounds per week lost. Equate numbers of months and years living that thinner lifestyle of the person you want to become instead. You can fail a diet, but you can't fail a lifestyle. When a thinner person breaks their leg and is stuck in bed for months at a time, they will often put on weight. But when they're mobile again, they go back to their normal lifestyle and those extra few pounds melts away over the couple months. Did they fail their diet? No, they just had a temporary setback in their lifestyle.
And also remember this, many studies have shown that the faster you lose weight, the faster you gain it back. Now look ahead 5 years as to where you want to be in your life. Now if you're setting proper goals that you can visualize, you should be able to see yourself as a thinner, healthier person. Do you want to get there by going through a dozen or so crash diets with all the pressure and negative emotions that you associate with a diet? Or do you want to be that healthy person for the last 5 years?
And the fifth and last point, don't be afraid to let people know that you are not on a diet. Tell them the truth that you have no intention of being on a temporary restrictive diet. You are changing your lifestyle to that of a thinner person for long-term success. There is nothing wrong with telling people this. This is the truth. Make your goals and intentions clearly known, and then the unrealistic expectations of others should hopefully stop.
Very good. Let's get on to our second email, and it is from listener Shanna. And Shanna is from my own backyard, Jeff. She's here in Long Beach, so a special shout-out to the LBC.
And she wrote, "Hi, Russ and Jeff. I just found your podcast, and I am really enjoying it. Thank you for the show. I am a 32-year-old female, 5'4" at 163 pounds. I am the chubby weight that I am because of poor food choices in the past, fast food a little too often, not making exercise a priority, and eating to calm myself when I walk in the door of my home, regardless of when I ate last. I am proud to say that I've lost 12 pounds in the last few months, down from 175, by cutting back on calories, but I now realize that I was limiting them a bit too drastically. And your suggestion to eat the number of calories for the weight you want to be, according to your BMR, makes a lot of sense to me and seems a lot more livable too.
After looking at your BMI calculator, I have 2 questions. Now we're going to take these one at a time. The first one is, 1, On your BMR calculator, I was wondering about activity level. I'm guessing that as long as you're not on your backside all day, you're not considered sedentary, right? I typically do a little walking, chores, gardening, but nothing that makes my heart really pound.
Well, when you look at the activity calculators, they're all just ballpark numbers really to get you started and get to a reasonable range of how many calories you really burn in a day. So they try to take the average person with the average amount of muscle mass and then factor in an average amount of activity that this person might do in these four or five different categories. Just use it as a starting point. If you really want to fine-tune those numbers, you just have to carefully track your intake of calories and monitor your weight for a couple of weeks. Over a few weeks, you'll be able to figure out what exactly is your activity level based on those calculators and your results. Now, I personally have a little slower metabolism than I should have given the amount of activity that I do and my personal size. I know this because if I eat at the very active level, I slowly gain weight. But if I continue to exercise at the very active level, but eat at the moderate active level, my weight is stable. So you just have to do the same thing. Play around with the amount that you're eating and the amount of activity and just kind of find that balance point. And if you want to start losing weight, either up your exercise or lower your calories or a combination of both.
That's right. Everybody's different. And you just got to find your little sweet spot in that equation. All right, let's go on to question number two here. What's a reasonable variation in my goal weight if you have big bones, slightly more muscle mass naturally? And she has a disclaimer here. I'm sure you guys hear the old big bones excuse a lot, but my wrists are the same size as my 6 foot tall husband. I'm short waisted with a broad rib cage and I have a thick, short neck. I know the thickness isn't fat alone. Even when I was at the height of my fitness as a teen with little body fat, doing daily dance classes, my body wasn't as narrow as the other girls. I don't beat myself up about that, but what's a reasonable variation in weight according to frame size? 5 pounds, 10 pounds, 15 pounds? I want to set a reasonable weight goal for myself. In other words, bikini ready and healthy. But I feel very out of touch with what my goal number should be. I haven't seen a truly thin me in so long that I don't really know. I've been chubby looking between 145 and 160 for the last 10 years. I tend to distribute weight equally all over my body, head to toe, not in the apple or pear shape patterns used to categorize female bodies. I've struggled with weight since my late teens, but I know that I need to stick with my healthy eating for the long haul, not get in the mindset of dieting. P.S. here, when my doctor told me I needed to lose weight 4 months ago, he recommended a 1,000-calorie diet, even suggesting that I do a plan like Medifast. No thanks. I wish more people in the medical community had sound advice like you guys.
Well, let me jump right back here and answer the question about how much you should weigh. And I know the exact number, but really, we really do not care how much you should weigh in the end. Because really, it's all about your body composition. So this is what we suggest. To figure out what your goal weight should be, look at those BMI calculators. Now, we know they're not accurate and they're only really good for large populations, but 25 is the upper limit of healthy for the BMI. So start with that number. Just use this as your starting point.
That's right. And then as you get closer to that weight, then you switch to body fat percentage as your goal. This takes out the differences in body shape or muscle mass. Now, for your age, and since you are female, the healthy body fat percentage is 21 to 32%. Now, if you don't want to do the math on those, we have some calculators at fattofitradio.com/tools. We've got a BMI calculator, a BMR calculator, and multiple body fat calculators that if you don't have a body fat scale or some way to get measured at a gym, then those are going to give you a good approximation and maybe do all three and then get a kind of a nice average out of them all.
That's right. And one other thing, the next time you do upgrade your scale at home, get one of those body fat scales. They are so easy to do. And it's just, here's my weight. Here's my body fat percentage. As you get leaner, your weight is less important. And then as the body fat takes over and you're trying to hit that 21, 22% to get to your bikini body shape, then just use those numbers.
All right, that's going to do it for our email for this week. I want to thank Robin and Shanna for their great questions. If you'd like to get your comment or question here on the show, there's a couple ways to do that. The first is by leaving a comment on the website at fat2fitradio.com.
Or you can send us an email to podcast@fattofitradio.com.
Third way is to leave a voicemail by clicking on the Call Me button over on the website, fat2fitradio.com.
Or you can join our support group at fat2fitsupport.com.
All right, Jeff, let's get into the web report. And today you've got one of your famous audio podcast infographics.
Well, it's not the picture that's great. It's the information that comes out of it. I do have an infographic, and I'll leave a link in the show notes, and it's showing the food consumption in America. And I'll just talk about some of the most important facts that I got out of this. And first of all, the average American is 36.6 years old. The average man is 5'9" tall and weighs 190 pounds. The average woman is 5'4" tall and weighs 164 pounds. Now, both of those, that's a BMI of 28.1, which is right in the middle of the overweight category and halfway there to being obese. Now, we always say that BMI isn't a great measurement for the individual person, but it's great for a population. And this is the entire American population. So on average, the American population's BMI is 28.1, which is getting pretty heavy. Now, the rest of this infographic goes over how much of certain foods that the average American eats. And it's things like 31.4 pounds of cheese, 32.7 pounds of eggs, 110 pounds of red meat, almost 74 pounds of poultry. And then it goes into more specific things. Each year, the average American eats 29 pounds of French fries, 23 pounds of pizza, 24 pounds of ice cream, 53 gallons of soda, 24 pounds of artificial sweeteners, and averages around 2,700 calories per day of food. There's no secret as to why Americans' average BMI is 28.1. There's no secret whatsoever when you look at all of these different foods and look at the calories. They do list all of the sources, and there's quite a few number of websites where they pulled all this information out of, from the USDA, the FDA, the CDC, and a whole bunch of different places. But, you know, it's the average of the entire population, and this is what people are becoming because they're eating this much stuff.
One thing actually is kind of interesting is corn syrup. You know, people like to victimize high fructose corn syrup, which I try to avoid completely myself, but it's only 42 pounds, according to this, for the average person. So that doesn't seem like a whole lot, but people are blaming all the ills of the world on corn syrup, and it's really not a huge portion of the calories that someone eats in a year.
Well, it's not a huge portion of the amount of weight that the average person is eating. If they're eating 42 pounds of corn syrup and the average person only eats 415 pounds of vegetables, that corn syrup probably has more calories than that much weight in vegetables. So it's a little deceiving just by going by pounds, not going by the exact number of calories per day.
All right, good. I was feeling a little bit weird about that, saying only 42 pounds of corn syrup, but I'm glad you explained that to me.
All right.
All right, Jeff, you got a second story for us this week also.
That's right. This news story comes from CBSNews.com, and I will have a link in the show notes to this and also a link to a video of this. The article is entitled, Biggest Loser Contestant Show Hurts People. Now, several former contestants of The Biggest Loser have come out in the past and exposed what really goes on there, and here is just the latest one. Kai Hibbard was the finalist in Season 3 of The Biggest Loser and lost 118 pounds in the 12-week season. Now, it does turn out that just because there are 12 weekly episodes, that doesn't mean that the events and weigh-ins for each show happened over the course of a single week. And by the way, she has gained back 70 pounds of that weight loss, which really isn't a big surprise. We have talked many times on the show about The Biggest Loser, and in fact, show number 77 goes over the pros and cons of the show. But we're going to give you a taste of what she's been saying about The Biggest Loser. This is a clip from the early show on CBS from, I believe, June 18th. And we'll have links to the article, like I said, and the video in the show notes. So let's just play the clip.
Hello, Erica.
Kai, I have to say, I was reading through things last night, and some of the allegations that you make are beyond disturbing. Give us an idea. What are you saying really happened on that show that we didn't see?
Well, what I like to talk about most when I talk about the show is, first of all, how grateful I am to be part of something that inspired so many people. Don't for one second think that I'm not grateful. At the same time, if I'm going to be grateful for my part in inspiring people, I need to take responsibility for the fact that I participated in a myth that hurts people. I have people that come up to me and talk to me and ask me why they can't lose 12 pounds in a week when I did. when I didn't. It didn't happen. It's TV. So if I'm going to be grateful and be an inspiration, at the same time, I need to take blame and responsibility for the fact that I helped perpetuate a myth that's dangerous.
When you say it didn't happen, do you mean that the numbers were fudged?
No, what I mean is that a week is not a week on TV.
So something that the show would ultimately say, this happened over the period of the week, are you saying that would be 2 weeks, 3 weeks, less than a week?
I'm saying that it would be most times longer than a week, and I believe once in my season it was less than a week. But it wasn't always a week, no.
You've also said that it wasn't always healthy, what you were told to do and how some of that weight loss was achieved. Tell us more about that.
The weight loss for that show is for ratings. People have to remember that The Biggest Loser isn't a weight loss camp that happens to be filmed for TV. It's a TV show that's made to look like a weight loss camp. So there was pressure from production and everybody involved in the show to make sure you had as big a numbers as possible every week. And I could tell you that before I went on the show, I never learned how to dehydrate to manipulate a scale. And I left knowing how to do it better than some fitness competitor that I know.
You also say you left with an eating disorder, correct?
I left with a very poor mental body image. I found myself loathing what I looked like the more weight that I dropped because of the pressure on me. And I found myself doing things like considering coffee a meal. And because of the mentality that I was surrounded with and the pressure that was given at that show, it was considered acceptable to behave that way. I take full responsibility for everything that I've done, but you can't understand it unless you understand the pressure that was there.
So really, there's nothing too surprising there. These are the things that we've said over and over throughout the history of Fat to Fit Radio. But when you hear it from one of the contestants about what it was really like coming out with an eating disorder, having it more of a television show that pretends to be a weight loss camp, none of this really surprises me. What about you, Russ?
Well, it doesn't really surprise me because it is a TV show. There are huge advertisers attached to this program. And so they're going to want to create the most buzz, get the most watchers, most viewers that they can. And, you know, if they have to fudge in a little bit on the week versus 5 days, 6 days versus a week and a half, you know, actually, I'm not going to make a big stink about that. I mean, that's just the way things are. That's okay. But, you know, the fact that they're doing things like teaching these people how to manipulate their you know, their amount of water in their body, that's what they came away with. Coffee's a meal. That's just ridiculous. The fact that those things they're coming away with, so the healthy lifestyle that we tried to advocate here, it's sad, and that, you know, there's no surprise that she's gained back, you know, what is it, 70 pounds of the weight that she lost on that show?
We're not going to beat a dead horse to death here because this is The Biggest Loser, and they are pretty much opposite of what we talk about, but I'll just leave with what we said before about the show. If you do 5% of what you see on the show for exercise and eating and going to these extremes, you will be fine for the rest of your life. 5% on track of what they're doing, and everyone can have a healthy body for the rest of their life.
It's very reassuring.
So, Russ, what do you have for us this week?
Well, Jeff, you went heavy, and I'm going light this week. The first one is from a website called Third World Geek, and a lot of these don't make sense, but I'm going to read a couple that are very funny. It's this 10 subtle signs that you are gaining weight. And the first one here, whenever you pass by the office pantry, people hold onto their coffee cups thinking that there's an earthquake. Another one here, when your favorite belt got busted, you can't find a replacement in any department store. Apparently, they don't carry your size. Just not big enough. When you're thinking of getting an F-cup bra, you're male. That's not a good sign. When you visit your friend's house, you wonder why they've reinforced their sofas with steel. It's not a good sign. One last one here. You're being aggressively recruited to join The Biggest Loser. Ba-dum-bum-tsh. So tie in there to your story. So that's just a few of those. And some of the other ones, again, don't make sense. Take a look at the link in the show notes.
Well, exaggeration can be humorous. There's a little bit of truth in those, though.
Yes, that's what makes it funny. You can always think like, oh, on my belt, I need to add a hole, you know, at the end of it. You got a little, like a quarter inch, eighth inch of meat left. I'm going to keep that belt. Yeah, the second story I have here is from a website, global1.tv, and it's humorous and not at the same time. It says here, the title is Woman Kicked Out of New Zealand for Being Too Fat. Now, this woman named Rowan, she's 33, and she is trying to work in New Zealand. She is not a native and was applying for a work visa, but unfortunately she was overweight. And because of that, they denied her her work visa. So she's going to have to find someplace else to live and work because the country of New Zealand does not want to be burdened by the costs associated with taking care of an obese, overweight person. They're done with it. You know, if you live in New Zealand, fine. If you're a native, they will, you're part of the healthcare system. They're going to go ahead and you're on the system. Fine. But if you're not, you know what? You can find someplace else to work and live. We don't want to pay for you. So it's kind of funny to hear about a woman being kicked out for being too fat of a country. But the sad part is that, you know, she's got to leave and doesn't have a job now.
You know, this was supposed to be your light news item, Russ, but it does raise a lot of things. And I think when it's talking about obesity, if you're coming into a system that has a healthcare system where everyone else is paying into previously, they want healthy people to come in. It's like joining a new insurance company. They want people that have been taking care of themselves before they get in there. And I think that people who are obese, hundreds and hundreds of pounds obese, there is a genetic composition to them, but there is a lot of personal choice in there as well. Just because you're predisposed to be heavier than other people doesn't mean that means hundreds of extra pounds. But people and society are now saying that if you are severely overweight, that is definitely a health concern.
Yeah, I think there's definitely, you know, an area there that's kind of gray where you're like, well, you know, this is, I say genetic, or, you know, you're just slightly overweight or you're not in the obese, but there's got to be a place where they say, you know, okay, this is where it stops. And New Zealand's made that determination. She's over the line. So she needs to get back over the line or get out. And I can understand both sides of that, that whole situation.
Well, this definitely could turn into quite a deep topic, but let's move on and get into the recipe of the week.
All right, Jeff. Well, have you ever gone to P.F. Chang's? Do you have those in Canada?
No, we don't.
Well, maybe we'll have to go there when you come down here to Long Beach. But P.F. Chang's, they have these things called soothing lettuce wraps. And they're basically kind of a, you know, you get a whole bunch of little ingredients and these lettuce leaves, and you, you kind of put them in, you make these little tacos. That's what I would call them. But I found this article. It was a recipe over at the New York Times, of all places. And it was for Korean grilled beef lettuce wraps. And this particular recipe uses ribeye, but you can use any kind of meat if you want. You can use chicken or something else. But this one looked pretty good because it has all the great little spices that make it this Korean, with the scallions and the garlic and the sesame oil and the honey. It just looked good, and it reminded me of those soothing lettuce wraps, which I'm a big fan of. So take a look at the recipe for the Korean grilled beef lettuce wraps.
Yeah, they look really good.
Very good, Jeff. So what is our quote for this week to motivate everybody out there?
Well, the quote this week comes from Mark Twain, and he said, "Keep away from people who try to belittle your ambition. Small people always do that, but the really great make you feel that you too can become great."
All right, very good. Well, you know, we're going to be changing the show up here a little bit, so if this one's a little bit different than what you're used to, don't worry, it'll change again. We're still trying to get a handle on exactly what the new Fat to Fit radio show is going to look like. That's it for this time, and again, all those show notes are on the website at fattofitradio.com. Look for show number 101, and the book, Fat to Fit, Getting There and Staying There, is on sale now. There's a link on the fattofitradio.com website, or just go to the link right now, fattofitradio.com/book, and check it out there. And with that, we will talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
Send your feedback or questions to podcast@fattofitradio.com. For more information on today's show or any previous shows, visit the website at fattofitradio.com. If you would like to support the show, leave us a review on iTunes or your favorite podcast directory.